For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Our scripture reading this evening is Daniel 6, the verses 1 through 17. And there we read God's holy word. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Therefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So far the reading of God's word. The text of the sermon do you find in the portion we read, Daniel 6, verse 11. The text of the sermon is actually the whole portion we read, but I will read verse 11 again. And there we read God's holy word. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Beloved congregation, children, I would like to address you first. Do you know the name of the magazine you can find sometimes in the mailbox in the narthex? It's a magazine that is sent out by our church for children. It's called Open Windows. Open Windows. And tonight we will listen to a portion of scripture after which this magazine is named. Open Windows points to Daniel who prayed at an open window three times a day. So, Open Windows has everything to do with prayer. Daniel prayed at an open window. He did so three times a day. Do you know what prayer is? You can compare it with breathing. Prayer is the breath of the soul. Have you ever tried to stop breathing? No, you cannot. You cannot live without breathing. You breathe continually. One breath a day is not enough. If you take a deep breath, it is still not enough for the whole day. You breathe in a regular, repetitive manner. And the same can be said of prayer. A true Christian does not reason, it is enough when I pray once a day. A true Christian is in need of a continual prayer. Otherwise, he cannot really live. A Christian prays regularly, otherwise he is no Christian at all. We listen to the account of Daniel and his habitual prayer. First of all, the attack on that prayer. Secondly, the content of that prayer. And thirdly, the direction of that prayer. Daniel and his habitual prayer. The attack on that prayer, the content of that prayer, and the direction of that prayer. Who is Daniel? I think all the children here know quite well who Daniel is. Maybe you have heard about him at school or from a children's Bible at home. Daniel is a Jew who lived in Babylon. He lived in a foreign country, and he did not move there voluntarily. He is not a refugee. He is an exile, a prisoner. And he and many other Israelites were captured by the Babylonians and deported to the great empire called Babylon. Daniel was 14 years old when that happened. And together with three of his friends, he was chosen to be at the court of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. That was a special privilege. They went to a school of the king and received the best education in the world. The four friends are very intelligent. They grew in knowledge and wisdom, Daniel in particular. Many years later, Daniel was honored by a king called Darius with an appointment to the position of president of the Empire of Babylon, along with two others. The young people, you need to know that Daniel lived in a country where the inhabitants did not serve the God of Israel. Daniel could not simply go to the temple to worship the Lord like you can go to church every Lord's Day. In Babylon, nothing reminded the Jews of the God of Israel. In Babylon, no one believed in God. Now what happens when men do not believe in God? They neither are willing to live according to God's law. In Babel, people served other gods. And there were many feasts. And everything in Babel was about fun and pleasure. It was quite simple to forget God. It was easy to do the things contrary to God's holy law. Because everyone did it. In the palace of the king, they did not consider the Lord's good commandments. Daniel lived in a poisoned atmosphere, an environment which was polluted by sin, just like today's society. And we know from Scripture that Daniel did not join in the sinful practices of that country. Daniel remained faithful to the Lord. He served the Lord as he was taught as a child. Do not think Daniel was such a special child. He was a teenager like you are. He was an ordinary person with sinful feelings and depraved desires in his heart. He knew of sinful thoughts as well. If he followed his own lusts and feelings, he would fall into to open sin. Why did Daniel not join the others? Why did he not yield to the temptations of sin? Why did he not forget the Lord? Not because Daniel was such a good boy. Not because he put so much effort in serving the Lord. It's only because of God's grace. God continued to remember Daniel, although Daniel did not deserve anything. And that is grace. Grace is that you receive from the Lord without deserving anything. And the Lord held on to Daniel. What does this prove? Well, our text explains. Daniel prayed to God. Our text says that he had the custom of praying three times a day. Why three times? Some commentators think that this number is derived from Psalm 55, verse 17, where we read, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Others suppose that it was a common rule of the Jews to pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. We do not know whether it was already a custom in Daniel's days. For Daniel it was. He was assumed that he was used to so before he was banished into exile. If you recall the beginning of the book Daniel, you maybe know that when Daniel with his friends came into the palace, they continued to live according to the Jewish laws. They received a special menu so that they would not commit sin against the Lord. Daniel served the Lord since he was a child. He prayed three times a day. And the Lord blessed Daniel and his friends. Daniel remained firm and did not fall for the customs of Babylon. That was fruit of a continual prayer. God's grace was manifested by a regular prayer life. Daniel's life reveals to us that the Lord willingly blesses prayer. So far we have focused on Daniel as a teenager. But the history we are listening to this evening is not about the young Daniel, but about Daniel who is over 80 years old. If we take this into account, the miracle becomes even greater that Daniel did not fall did not fail to stand firm in the service of the Lord. Daniel was in the palace all the time. He had obtained a leading position. Several kings came and went, but Daniel stayed as an important advisor and ruler in the empire of Babylon. Even when the Medes and Persians took over the empire of the Babylonians. Although Daniel was faced with many difficulties and dangers, although he could not trust a single king of Babylon, one moment he could be a cabinet minister, the next you could be fired and imprisoned. In the midst of all these trials and temptations, the Lord crowned Daniel's life with His grace and honor. That is so striking in Daniel's life. We can learn a lot from Daniel. What is today's world? What is the city Hamilton? What a richly endowed, we are richly endowed with many blessings. We have plenty reasons to be thankful. We all have food and drink, more than enough. We may live in a house, you may sleep in a bed, and although everything is costing more and more, we are still rich. And what about spiritual matters? What about the service of the Lord? Biblical values and rules are increasingly eliminated by our governments. The things that were generally accepted before are disputed nowadays. It seems that shame has disappeared in modern media. The Sabbath rest is polluted. Unborn life is not protected. We live in a pornified world. Your life from Monday to Saturday differs totally with the Lord's Day. If you are a parent or teacher, you may be concerned about the children and you wonder, how will they stand firm in our society? What else can we expect from our governments? Will tolerance toward Christians diminish? If you consider the temptations of this world, you wonder how our children will stand firm. Watch Daniel. It's by the grace of the Lord that he stood firm. The grace of God was visible in his life. His life was a life of prayer. That was his secret weapon. Although he lived in a society which was no better than ours, on the contrary, he stood firm in the midst of enticing temptations which abounded in the palace. In the midst of the polluted society, a lesson that comes to the fore is that the circumstances or environment are not decisive to the question whether we can stand firm in our society. The circumstances or our environment are not decisive. Decisive is whether we live in the fear of the Lord. Just think of other narratives in the Bible about men who lived under favorable circumstances. Recall King David. He is called in Scripture the man after God's heart. He lived near to the sanctuary, near the sanctuary. And everybody in Israel served the Lord. God's law ruled the daily life of Israel. We would say, ideal circumstances to fear the Lord. But David fell into a terrible sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He ordered to kill Uriah. But Daniel put Daniel beside David. He could not attend the temple service. He lived in an ungodly world. He still feared the Lord. He walked with God. He waited on the Lord in deep dependence. How can you stand firm? Only by the grace of God. Are you in need of this grace? Are you in need of the Lord? Are you in need of Him when you discover that your heart feels attraction to this world? When you discover that the roots of sin dwell in your heart? Oh, then you begin to pray. You wait on the Lord and you pray for His mercy. Oh Lord, teach me to pray like Daniel, who prayed continually. Daniel knew of a closet. Do you have a closet? What is a closet? Well, in our text it is called a chamber. It was a separate room. Probably it was built on the top floor. Daniel had built a house for himself, and houses in that area had a flat roof. And upon the flat roof, he had a room. The room was a bit colder because above the room there was more exposure to wind that could blow through the room. And Daniel could afford that to build such a nice house because he was the first of the three presidents. He belonged to the three most influential men of the empire. King Darius had divided his mighty empire into 120 provinces called satrapies. And these were governed by satraps or provincial managers. And these 120 governors collected taxes. And three presidents were supervisors over these satraps. Daniel was the first supervisor, as we read in verse 3. He was the king's right-hand man. Presumably, he had dominion over the western part of the empire. Daniel must have been a busy man. And he could afford a house with a separate chamber. It had open windows. That means windows without bars. It does not matter whether you have a special room to pray. Daniel did not always have one either. The point is whether you know of a place and a set time where you can seclude yourself and pray. Do you have a place and a time that you seek the Lord's face? Daniel had such a closet. It was visible and noticeable. You could even see Daniel when he prayed. It must have been noticeable in his daily life as well. Daniel depended on the Lord. The court officials and civil servants must have seen Daniel live differently. He did not join the wild parties. He did not join the extravagant parties and events. Some people he worked with cannot bear that he was the first president. They cannot stomach that Daniel has an excellent spirit. They are jealous and envious. And the other presidents will try to get rid of Daniel. And meanwhile, you probably understand who else cannot stand it, that God's work is so visible in the society. Who cannot stand that? The devil. And for that reason, he will do whatever it takes to humiliate Daniel and to take him from serving the Lord. And the devil knows of Daniel's secret weapon. namely his continual prayer. And the devil knows that he has to point the arrows to Daniel's prayer life in order to eliminate him. The jealous presidents hatch a nasty plan. They act as if they want to honor the king. And they come to him and flatter him with a proposal that honors Darius very much. A law has to be signed which stipulates that a petition may only be asked of the king for a period of 30 days. In this period, only the king may be honored. And Darius did not count on this proposal and is surprised with the spontaneous demonstration that honors him as a king. He did not surmise the real purpose of this spontaneous action. Maybe he thought that Daniel supported the new law as well. We do not know. The king, however, is haughty and thinks, first of all, of his own honor without considering the consequences of the new law. The architects of this plan, are very smart. It has to be a law that cannot be recalled. Darius likes the idea. He will receive more honor than the gods. Who would not like this honor? Do you meanwhile notice what is going on? We just considered the secret of Daniel's life, namely that he stood firm in the midst of a poisoned society, that he could stand because in the way of the continual prayer, by his continual prayer. And although sin smiles at him, he did not collapse under the weight of the temptations because of God's grace. He continued praying 3 times a day. And we wonder, what will Daniel do now? It's impossible to pray any longer. Does he go back to a corner of his house and to pray secretly so that no one will notice? No. He brings his need to the Lord. Why did he not pray in a corner? Well, then everyone might think that he stopped praying. People would suppose that Daniel had given up his faith and that he denies the Lord. They might mock him because of the lack of trust now that he stops praying. No, Daniel cannot stop. He perseveres in this good custom. And probably he prayed right away after he heard of the new edict. He hears about it, and it must have touched Daniel deeply. Daniel cannot wait with praying. He must pour out his heart before the Lord. No one can withhold him. He is aware that he might be the first to be thrown into the den of lions, for he cannot deny the Lord. He is in need of the Lord. And just for that reason, he will pray. What would you have done? Would you not have preferred to pray in a corner, out of everyone's sight? Or would you even have stopped praying? What about you? If you eat somewhere, for example in a restaurant, do you pray as fast as possible? You hide your folded hands and you bow your head for a moment and you hope that no one sees you? And what about at work or at school? Maybe you are one of the few that attend church. How easily we are ashamed. Daniel is not ashamed. He prays before an open window, in spite of the prohibition. He does not feel shame. even though he knows that the death penalty is waiting. He bows before the Lord. This is the secret of Daniel's steadfastness, and therefore he did not collapse under social pressure and threats. Daniel knew a prayer life. He could not live without prayer, since he could not miss God. And for Daniel, that is most important. Scripture clearly shows God's children falling into miserable sin because of a lack of continual prayer. Just recall the affair of David with Bathsheba. He fell deeply because he was lazy. He did not watch and pray. And when we skip watching and praying, we will not listen to the Lord either. It should strike us that we see the opposite with Daniel. Although he lives in a godly society, he continues to bend his knees before the Lord. That's the only way he could go on. Just like breathing. You cannot stop. You have to continue. Otherwise you run into trouble. What a blessing if you know something of Daniel's secret. If you have learned to pray. Of all the things I have to miss, I cannot miss thee. Although I have to confess that many things in my life strive against this. Although I am so many times not as I should be. I cannot miss thee because I am so weak and frail. Daniel's need did not keep him far from God. The temptations of the world did not keep him from God. The real risk of getting killed did not keep him from God. He knew of the blessing of continual prayer. And now we also understand the contents of his prayer. He poured out his need before the Lord. We also notice humility in his prayer. Daniel prays while aware of his unworthiness. How do we know that? Well, first of all, by his attitude, and secondly, by the contents of his prayer. First, something about his attitude in prayer. Lifting up the hands was a common practice of the Jews. In the book of Psalms, we read several times about this habit. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, we read in Psalm 134. Daniel, we read that he prayed on his knees. That means that he humbled himself before the Lord. He prayed in humility. That means that he made himself very small. He bows in the dust. And he admits, we do not deserve anything. Everything we receive is grace. It's a good custom to bend your knees in your personal prayers. The attitude is not decisive, but neither unimportant. Daniel knows that he has no rights. Although men are doing injustice, he brings his needs to the Lord. And the more you discover who you are in yourself, the more you discover that you are without rights. We read that he prayed and gave thanks to his God. The Hebrew word that is used for praise can also be translated with to make confession. That is the way it is translated in chapter 9, verse 4. To make confession and to thank the Lord are two matters which are closely connected. When we truly thank the Lord, we also confess our unworthiness and our sins. That is also meant in this text. Daniel makes confession of sin and guilt. First of all, confession of his own sin and guilt. For sure, Daniel stands firm in an ungodly environment. That, however, does not mean that Daniel is without sin. Sin lives in his heart. And Daniel knows, I cannot stand in the presence of God's majesty and holiness. He confesses his sin before the Lord. He will also make confession of the guilt of the people. In chapter 9, we meet Daniel as a man that includes himself in the sin of the people. We read in verse 5 of chapter 9, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. We have sinned, Daniel included. And Daniel confesses the sins of his people. That's an important lesson for us as well. If we do not confess the sins of our country, who else will? Who else will confess the sins of our country if we don't confess them? And at the same time, we have to marvel about the goodness of the Lord toward us and our country. Daniel made confession of sin, and he offers thanksgiving to his God. It is to the honor and glory of the Lord if we confess who we are before His majesty and holiness, and at the same time humbly thank Him for all the undeserved blessings. I hope you understand that a true prayer touches our hearts and lives. Daniel prays 3 times a day. What matters is not so much the frequency of our prayer, not whether we keep our annual prayer service. What matters is whether we pray from the heart. And that is what Daniel does. By the grace of God, he prays from the heart. He prays not because he has to, because the Lord has commanded to do so. If we do not pray from the heart, we probably look like the Pharisees and the scribes. They prayed, but without love. You can look very decent and faithful. You are involved in church activities, but without sincere prayer, you are nothing but a sounding breath. Prayer has to come from the heart. And the Lord knows your heart. He knows whether your heart is filled with love. The question is not whether you feel something that the Lord hears your prayer, or that you can pray with feeling in your own perception. It's a matter of whether we have a living bond with God by faith. And Daniel prays and gives thanks to his God. That is visible in his whole life. If the Holy Spirit teaches you to pray, others will notice it as well. You aim to seek the honor and glory of God, even in the midst of your needs. That's the keynote of this prayer. And for that reason, Daniel prays on a regular basis. His prayer life proceeds from the heart. Daniel is made honest before the Lord. He opens up his heart. His expectation is from the Lord. If we do not know anything of Daniel's prayer exercises, then I'm afraid that you do not know the Lord at all. You are in need of a true prayer. You need the Lord to teach you what to pray for. You need to pray for a prayer. The Lord exhorts you, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The Lord will first of all fill it with a sincere prayer. Are you in need for the grace of prayer? The Dutch poet Guido Gezelle has penned it so strikingly. Thou hast prayed on the mountainside alone, but, Jesu, there is no mountain, none, high enough where I can climb and find thee there alone. The world purges Wherever I go or turn or cast my eye, and poor as I am, there is none, not one who is needy and cannot complain, hungry and cannot beg, whose pain tortures and he cannot say how bitterly. Oh, teach this fool, teach him how to pray. And the Lord will teach us how to pray. By His teaching, we learn to pray according to His will. He teaches you what a sincere prayer includes. That is a prayer for grace, prayer for forgiveness of sin, prayer for a prayer to be kept from sin. That's a prayer for cleansing and renewing of your heart so that you will be focused on the Lord and His will. But it includes prayer for food and drink as well. Prayer for good crops and labor. Lord exhorts, pour out your heart before me. The last thing I would like to pay attention to is the direction of his prayer, our third thought. We read in verse 10 that he has his window open towards Jerusalem. Towards Jerusalem. That means that when Daniel prayed three times a day, his face was directed to the city of Jerusalem that had been broken up. The city and the temple had been destroyed. Why? Not because he thought that he needed to do so, to pray toward the city Jerusalem. And the Muslims do so. And they pray in one direction. When they pray, they are always directed to their holy city, Mecca. Daniel was directed to Jerusalem for a special reason. You need to know what the city of Jerusalem in Scripture means. Jerusalem is always related to the service of the Lord. Jerusalem is the place where the Lord lived. It is God's city. The city of which he had said, "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." Jerusalem is the place where the Lord revealed himself. He revealed himself by the altar with the sacrificed animals, on it for the redemption of sin. God revealed himself in the mercy seat of the ark. God spoke to his people from above the mercy seat. And Daniel has his window open towards Jerusalem. It means that Daniel confesses that his expectation is from his God, the God of Israel, the God who spoke to his people, the God who sought communion with his people from above the mercy seat. And Daniel sees communion with his God. Although the temple is not there anymore, he seeks it with the Lord. The world may be against him. Jealous people may try to ruin him. He may live in an ungodly society, in the midst of many temptations. And don't forget that Daniel had a heart like you and I have. But he bends his knees and expects everything from the Lord. He prays to the Lord and makes confession. He thanks the Lord for the things of this temporary life and for the things of eternal life. His expectation is of the Lord. He seeks it with the Lord. And maybe you wonder, how can I pray like Daniel? How can the Lord hear my prayer? My prayers are insufficient and I do not know how to pray so often. If I look at myself, I find no reason why the Lord would hear my prayer. No, you are right. There are no merits on our side. There are no reasons in you whereby you can obtain God's hearing ear. God is of purer eyes than to behold the evil. We have no reason but to be ashamed and to bow our heads. Don't think that the Lord heard Daniel because of something of Daniel. No. Daniel has an open window toward Jerusalem. Daniel is focused on what happened in the temple in former times. And what foremost picture do you see when you attend the sanctuary, the temple in Jerusalem? When you enter the sanctuary, you first of all saw the altar that burned continually. The altar with upon it the sacrificed animals. Blood was flowing for the propitiation of sins. The burning altar reveals God's anger over sin. Everything sin has to be paid. And at the same time, the burning altar points to the way of remission that the Lord has opened up. Because of the offered sacrifice, the Lord can hear prayers. Everything in the temple pointed to the atonement of sin. Maybe your thoughts already go further when you realize that the altar points to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that happened in the temple points to the Lord Jesus. In Him is the entire temple service. In Him is the entire temple service fulfilled. The Lord Jesus shed His blood for the forgiveness of all sins. The Lord Jesus has opened the way of salvation. And by His shed blood and broken body, He has opened a new and living way. It's because of His sacrifice that the Lord hears prayers. And that's the deep meaning of Daniel's open window towards Jerusalem. The New Testament interpretation of these words. Daniel prays and makes supplication while he is focused on the honor and glory of God. Daniel seeks it with God, who is able and willing to look upon sinners in favor. He pleads with the Lord. The Lord could hear Daniel only because of the sacrifice that was offered. The Lord seeks sinners through the altar that He has given to His people, whereby they in turn seek and find the Lord's friendly countenance. That has important implication for us, congregation. Here we find the reason of the Lord's ability and willingness to hear us. We pray for God's blessing on our crops and labor, for school and church, for health and patience if we suffer diseases. We pray for understanding of the Scriptures and that God's kingdom may come. We pray for all that we need, and we are allowed to do so. But we must never forget that the Lord can only hear because of the blood that is shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, we cannot offer the Lord anything. God can hear prayers only because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we need an open window towards Jerusalem. That means that our prayers need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. God can only hear us for Jesus' sake. And for this reason, it is so important to have an open window toward Jerusalem. That you have a sight on the Lord Jesus Christ. That you desire to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to have communion with Him. Do you have an open window toward Jerusalem? Do you have an open window toward the Lord? Do you desire to know Him and to obey Him? Are you mindful of the Lord? Do you look to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus? Or is your window fogged up or closed? Maybe you experience that your prayers do not reach heaven. Maybe you experience spiritual darkness and you miss a clear sight of the Lord Jesus. Let this be an encouragement for you to beseech the Lord for an open window, that He clears your window, that He opens your window, that He teaches you in prayer. Pray the Lord. Teach this fool. Teach him how to pray. It pleases the Lord to do so. He is willing to hear prayers. He is willing to teach you what to pray for. It's the first thing God teaches you when He visits you by word and spirit. Seek it with the Lord. I do not know what this season will bring, congregation. Maybe you will gain much prosperity, maybe much adversity. Let your circumstances not be decisive. May your window be open towards the Lord. May your expectation be of the Lord. If you have an open window toward the Lord, you will notice miracles. Miracles happened in Daniel's life too. A bunch of men spied on Daniel and they accused him, and the king could do nothing but cast Daniel down into the den of lions, and the Lord provided a miracle. The lion's mouth was shut. Well, the Lord is still the same. The Lord still hears prayers. No, that does not mean that the Lord delivers us always from difficult circumstances. We do not read the literal content of Daniel's prayer. But one thing is sure. He prayed for the glorification of God's name. God hears such a prayer in the way He pleases. Daniel leaves it with the Lord. His window is open towards Jerusalem. He pleads God's name. Seek it with the Lord in prosperity and in adversity. If you put your trust in the Lord, He will perform miracles. He will fill our needs. Amen.